Well, just going back over this past week, in the case of the US, we've still got plenty of evidence that they've got a very strong economic recovery underway. And, of course, with less restrictions over there, you know, life is returning more to normal in the United States. And so it's the power of the economic recovery, which is still driving movements in investment markets. And we're not seeing too much movement which would spoil it in the way of rising bond yields yet either. You know, that's largely because the Federal Reserve, even though you know, it's bringing its plans forward a little in terms of when it might start to raise interest rates, is still saying effectively it's going to be reactive in this cycle. It's going to wait for some time before it starts to put some pressure there on interest rates. So going to the data, you know, we had non-farm payrolls came through last week. These moved back into very strong territory. So for the month of June, the market was looking for non-farm payrolls to rise by 675,000, got a rise of 850,000, so a huge rise. And the previous month was revised upwards from 559,000 to 583,000. So you've got people roaring back into employment there. The unemployment rate, because you had a slight rise in the participation rate, actually went up a little bit to 5.9% from 5.8%. So just you know, slightly negative there in terms of the unemployment rate rising. But you know, this is a function largely of the US finding some more in employment out of participation rate. And there is a difference between the US and Australia in this regard. In the case of Australia, our participation rate came down and then went up very sharply, and we've got our participation rate all the way back up to record highs. In the case of the US, the participation rate is actually quite low still. It fell and stayed down through the COVID recession. People are not quite sure why this has happened, whether you know, there's some older workers there have decided to be permanently retired or whatever. So it's interesting that the participation rate's now starting to lift a little bit. That, if anything, is good because it's adding some more supply into the labour market. And yeah, that will mean that some of the pressures on longer-term inflation, such as rising wages, may take longer to appear. So you know, these figures in some ways were very encouraging that came out on Friday and account for why you've seen some of the risk asset markets moving to new record highs there over the weekend. Just one or two of the other figures that came through last week, which is still running pretty high. We had the purchasing managers' reports coming through. So we had things like the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. It's not quite as high as it was the month before, but it's still above 60. So it was 61.2 going back to May. Above 60 is very high for this index, and it was at 60.5 for the most recent month, so that's still pointing strongly ahead. We had May pending home sales, which suggests that the housing market's getting further wind there because market expected pending home sales to actually fall by 1%. They went up by 8% for the most recent month. And we had more evidence there too of house prices just roaring. This is a feature, you know, we think of it as being an Australian thing, but it's there in just about every major economy at the moment. And the Case-Shiller House Price Index came out for the month of April. For the most recent month, it was up 1.6% month on month. The annual rate of change in house prices for the United States has lifted to 14.9% from 13.4%. So you know, you've got that underpinning household wealth together with what's been happening to the share market over there. And not surprisingly, consumer sentiment, consumer confidence, we had the June consumer confidence reading came out, and it was way stronger than expected. It was already in very high territory. So the month before it was 117.2. Market thought we'd get a bit of a rise to 119. It went up to 127.3. That's just about a record high. So, yeah, there's plenty of signs there that the US recovery is is certainly gathering pace, and a lot of strength still running through that. This week, you know, we start quiet because they had Independence Day yesterday with a holiday running through to Monday, and we've got fairly limited data coming through this week. So on Tuesday, we get the ISM Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. The services sector there has started to move very, very strongly. So it was 64 going back to the month of May. It came back a touch to, we think it will come back a touch to 63.5, but very strong reading for that one. On Wednesday, probably the focal point of the week will be the minutes of the last FOMC meeting. Remembering that this last FOMC meeting, those interest rate forecasts from the Fed governors, for the first time, brought forward the first interest rate increases into 2013 into 2023 from 2024. For the first time, they're predicting that, you know, we'll get 0.25 percentage point interest rate hikes. Not in 2022, but in 2023, so still a long way off. So just seeing some of the talk around that. And then later in the week, we get minor data, you know, things like May consumer credit and things like that, but not a lot coming out of the US this week. So if anything, you know, what we saw running through the tail end of last week is probably what we're going to get through this week once they get past their holiday, and that is continuing strength in risk asset markets. Out of China last week, we had their June manufacturing services sector purchasing managers reports. In the case of China, it's a bit different from other major economies. You know, they were first out of the pandemic. They had a lot of the strength running through their economic recovery much earlier than other economies. So now they're just topping off. That they're in a position where other major economies are likely to be in about 12 months' time. And so you can see it in their purchasing manager reports. Yeah, not quite as strong, still okay. So they're still pointing towards good growth in China, but nowhere near as strong as it has been running through the first quarter and running into the second quarter. Yeah, as we go into the second half of the year, you're going to see other major economies really roaring, whereas China will be capping off, if anything. And that's what's reflected in these purchasing managers' reports, where the manufacturing PMI came back a touch to 50.9 from 51, going back the month before, and the services sector PMI came down to 53.5 from 55.2. The cakes in manufacturing PMI, often looked on as being a more reliable indicator for manufacturing, came down to 51.3 from 52. This week in China, we'll get on the June cakes in non-manufacturing PMI. That comes out probably later today, and it was at 55.1. If anything, that's going to come down to 52 or 53. And then the figures, which people will be watching with some care, because with strong economic growth, inflation follows. And so we've got China's CPI and PPI. It's particularly the PPI, the producer price index, that people will be watching, because, you know, this is some of the pipeline pressure at factory gate that's starting to feed through into consumer prices down the track. And going back to the month of May, Chinese PPI was 9% year on year. That may come back, we hope, to 8.8%. We wouldn't want to see it go any higher, because otherwise it's a sign that there's a fair bit of inflation coming through for most of the world in the near term. The CPI, they've not really got it in their own prices, because the other thing that China's got is an appreciating exchange rate. Now, that appreciating exchange rate means those producer prices, those factory gate prices, really hurt for people buying Chinese goods now, because you've not only got in yuan those prices rising very, very fast, but you've got the added hurt of other currencies depreciating against the Chinese yuan. So 9% becomes 10, 11, and 12% when it's factored into other currencies when they're importing goods from China now. And the CPI in China, though, goes the other way, because, you know, they're getting goods from the rest of the world cheaper rates. And so their CPI is actually holding down better than most, and will maybe go up to 1.4% from 1.3% going back to the month of May. Here in Australia, we've got RBA governor speaking a few times this week, but going back to last week, some of the data we had last week, we had, first of all, May private sector credit, and credit starting to accelerate a bit under the pressure from housing credit. This is the stock of credit, not the new finance commitments. And total private sector credit lifted 0.4% month on month, and the annuals at 1.9%. Obviously, that annual is going to lift quite a bit if we start getting 0.4s and 0.5s a month running through the monthly readings. Housing credit accelerated. It has been rising 0.5% a month. It lifted to 0.6 for the most recent and is now up at 4.8% year on year. That's 4.8%, which over the next few months is going on 7 or 8%. So that will be lifting quite fast because we know what's been happening in the in housing finance commitments. We also had international trade data, and one feature of trade here is, you know, notwithstanding our disputes and spats with China, trade is going gangbusters, and exports rose 6% in the month of May. Imports also rose by 3%, but that meant that our trade surplus went to a new record high for the month. It was $9.68 billion. That's a trade surplus for 1 month. When you think about it, when we look at the lift in GDP in a quarter, is normally, when we're getting around 1% to GDP growth in a quarter, is around $4 billion lift in a quarter. You're getting a trade surplus here of over $9 billion, and that's up from $8.16 billion. So, we've got $1.5 billion lift in just 1 month on that trade surplus. So this is where trade is helping to drive growth as well. You're sort of getting some real strength running through this with the global economy picking up as fast as it is. We also had May quarter job vacancies. And, I know we've all been a bit glum over this last month because, we've had obviously shutdowns in Victoria. We had shutdowns here in New South Wales and brief ones elsewhere in other places. But once we get past them, it doesn't get over the fact that, there's a lot of businesses here that are struggling to find the labour they need in the current environment. And the May quarter job vacancies survey from the ABS that came out last week was truly stunning. Going back to the quarter before, we had a 13.7% lift quarter on quarter in job vacancies. We had a 23.4% quarter-on-quarter lift in the May quarter. And job vacancies in Australia are now at a record high, actually 100,000 above the previous record high. So we've got 362,500 job vacancies in Australia that can't be filled. And the lift in job vacancies over the past year is 184.1%. This gives you some idea of what happens when you can't get cheap workers from overseas. We are really struggling now to fill positions in many businesses, and that's coming through in other ABS surveys as well. So, yes, you occasional dents from the shutdowns, but as soon as you get past them, this is the underlying pressure that's running through in Australia. It's one of the reasons why we should expect that wages growth is going to pick up a lot quicker than the Reserve Bank's currently forecasting. These are the pressure points of the Reserve Bank, not in the near term, but further down the track. Last Friday, we had May housing finance commitments, and these are still running very, very strongly. They're up another 1.9% over the last month. That was after a 4.3% increase the month before. The investors are getting in on the act now. So, the investment housing finance commitments lifted 13.3% last month. They're starting to chase obviously these prices, which are still rising pretty fast. And that was one of the key features really over this last weekend when, Sydney was in stay-at-home instruction. But the housing auctions on very high volume still went ahead. A lot of them went online and all sorts of other forms. Yes, the clearance rate came back a bit to just under 70%, to around 67%, but price pressure was still there big time. And so a lot of reports of some very crazy spending on housing over the course of the weekend. So it's just impervious to even these shutdowns that occur from time to time. This week in Australia, today, we'll get the ANZ job ad survey. This is a monthly one, not the quarterly one that we have from the ABS, and it's more up to date. Going back a month ago, we had a 7.9% month-on-month lift in job vacancies. They're up about 70% year-on-year, the ANZ series. It's going to be reasonably strong again for the most recent month. We'll also get some official data from the ABS. So we get May retail trade. We've already had the preliminary reading on this. It was up 0.1%. That's about what it's going to be, 0.1%, after a 1.1% increase the month before. The 0.1% was because Victoria was mostly in lockdown through the month, but still rose, notwithstanding having one state in lockdown there. And May home building approvals. Market thinks they'll probably come down again because they have been at an extraordinarily high level. They were down 8.6% the month before, off an incredible record high going back the month before. It'd be interesting to see where they do fall again. I think there's a risk that they may actually go the other way. So watching that number when it comes out. We've got the Reserve Bank tomorrow too. It's a key one people are watching, not for any change on interest rates, but on the quantitative easing. What do they do about the $200 billion bond buying program? There's a view that that'll start to taper. They have to say something about whether they're going to move to the next maturity of the three-year government bond too, in terms of their purchasing. Do they move to November 2024 maturity from the current maturity, or do they say no, we're just going to stick with the April 24, which will give some indications that they're getting towards some sort of taper. So the RBA meeting tomorrow is going to be interesting. Still no sign there that interest rates are going up anytime soon, but just in terms of the quantitative easing program, that might be starting to taper in that meeting tomorrow. Out of Europe, data all strong. So we had the June business and consumer survey lifted to 117.9 from 114.5 going back the previous month. We also had the May unemployment rate, and that came down by 0.2 of a percentage point down to 7.9. That was quite unexpected from 8.1. So they're getting some power starting to run through their economies there that are starting to lower the unemployment rate. You get into a virtuous circle of growth starting to run off the back of that. People are watching inflation. The actual CPI that came out, the preliminary CPI for June, wasn't the problem at this stage. It was 1.9% down from 2%. But the producer prices for May came out, and rather like producer prices elsewhere, these are really motoring, and they went up to 9.6% year-on-year from 7.6% year-on-year the month before. So that's these factory gate prices for all sorts of goods, which are just starting to cause a bit of a problem in terms of CPIs. And this is temporary as far as the central banks are concerned, because they think that you're going to see some of those producer prices coming back off a base effect before we go very much further, and that things settle back a bit. But what they thought was going to happen in the middle of this year, the peak on these prices is actually rather higher than they were anticipating. So this is where we've just got to have a weather watch on these things for the time being, and what the policy response might be to them. And Europe this week, we get Centix investor confidence coming out for the month of July. This will rise, so it'll go to about 30 from 28.1. We get May retail sales. This is one of the first months where a lot of people were able to get out and about and spend. So after being down 3.1% the month before, they're likely to rise by over 4%. 4.1% is the consensus for that one. We get ZEW economic sentiment, 81.3 the month before, probably going to go mid-80s for that indicator. So again, a sign of strength. And we also get the ECB monetary policy meeting on Thursday. They've got still their cash rates at minus 0.5%. No sign they're going to be shifting that anytime soon. So, and this one is actually quite quirky now because the likely rebounds in growth in some of the major economies over the second half of 2021 are going to be especially powerful in Europe. And so the anomaly between having a negative cash rate and economies which are really coming out like a cannonball through the second half of the year is going to be pretty extreme. So you've got extraordinary easy monetary policy with extraordinarily fast economic growth. So you know, that's going to be the Europe or the European story as we go through the second half of the year. Oddly enough, when you see some of the moves which run through investment markets too, it's going to be like a candle works for moths. You know, so basically the European share markets are going to go ballistic through the second half of the year as you get sort of a reallocation towards those parts which are going to be growing fastest around the world. So some interesting things to watch as we go ahead.